The scripture reading for today's message is going to be coming from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, starting at verse 42. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 42, it is part of a very important and intimate conversation of Jesus with his disciples. This is what Jesus had to tell them. Verse 42. Jesus called them, that is the disciples, together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authorities over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let us ask God to enlighten this passage. So join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you because without your Holy Spirit guiding us and explaining your word to us, it would just be words, one ear in and the other one out. But we pray, O Lord, that because you are building this church up, and because we desire to see Jesus Christ, so therefore speak to us, be our teachers, and help us, Father God, to be your good students. We are learning together, and we thank you, Father, for we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, who loves us. Amen. As you know that today, as part of our worship service, we are going to be installing and dedicating Sam Kim as associate pastor for the English ministry. I know that Sam is very serious about serving God, but he's not going to be serving God alone in this church. Because all of us believers, you and I, are serving the Lord with him all together. Let us therefore take a look at serving God and what it means this morning. If you would like to follow on in your Bible, in the passage we just read, I would encourage you to turn your Bible to Mark chapter 10 again. You probably have heard the saying that an apple doesn't fall far from the apple tree, and that like father, like son. So in a very real way, Christians are to mirror the Lord Jesus, and the church ought to be a reflection of Christ. We are all servants of God. Believers are all servants of God. And in the passage that we are looking at, Jesus was telling his disciples to imitate him, to copy him. Jesus set an example for all of us. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to offer his life as a sin repayment. The moment we turn our lives to Christ, the moment we confess that we are sinners and ask God to come into our lives and be Lord and Savior, that moment we became children of God. That moment we became citizens of God's kingdom. That moment we became followers of Christ, and also at the same moment we became servants of God. What is a servant and what does it mean? If you have a thesaurus, I would encourage you to use it because it offers some very interesting information on what servant means. If you turn to Roger's thesaurus, you would find that this is how it describes servant. Here's what it says. A servant is an assistant, an underling, a subordinate, a hiring, a waiter, an usher, an office boy, a page, a bellboy, a lackey, a stooge, a maid, a hired person, a milkman, a captive, a slave. It doesn't matter what word you use, it doesn't sound very noble or dignified to be a servant. And the adjectives used to describe a servant include words such as menial, low or lowly, abject, base, mean, and servile. No wonder nobody wants to be a servant. In fact, back in the days of Jesus and also in our culture, being a servant is a very unpopular choice. In Jesus' day, being a servant, and also in our days, has a very bad connotation to it. However, if you turn to the Bible, you will find that the Bible has a lot to say about being a servant, servant's heart or servanthood. For instance, if you read the letters in the New Testament, you would find that very often one of Paul's favorite self-description is that Paul, a servant of Christ. So he would introduce himself in this way, for instance, in the book of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus. You would never hear Paul talking about himself as a big boss, but always a servant or a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was basically imitating and copying Christ, who is God, who came to earth in the form of a person, of a man, and to show us how a person, how a servant lives, and also how a servant died. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says it very clearly, "For even the Son of Man," that is Jesus himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You may ask, if we are all serving, then who in God's eyes is the greatest? And Jesus has this to say in verse 42, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authorities over them." What was Jesus trying to say? We live in a world and in a culture where greatness is very often measured by power, position, and perks. In this world, very often your position is measured by how much education you have, how many degrees you have after your name, what your title is, how much money you make, your net worth, how many people you can command, how many people you can call on the phone and know that they would have to call you back ASAP. In this world, very often we find that greatness is measured by perhaps the kind of car you drive, the size of your office, maybe your zip code, and all of those outward things. Jesus says that it may be that way out there, in our world, in our culture, but it is not going to be so with believers in here, in the church of Christ. In here, the church among the people of God's greatness will be measured in a different way. How then does God look at greatness? Read on. Verse 42, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." So we know that this is how God measures greatness, because God takes his example from Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve. I have to admit that serving God is never easy. This is what we are supposed to do when we follow God, when we are his disciples, and we fall in love with God. But having said all that, you know, serving God is never easy. It is easier for me to preach, to talk about it, to share, but very, very difficult to put it into practice. But we also know that God is looking for believers. God is looking for churches who would follow the example of Christ and be an example themselves of what it means to be a servant. Sam and all of us are called to be servants. And we pray that it would always be that way, because Jesus is worth all our serving, all our ministries, and also all our efforts. I'm going to ask and also answer a question. What difference would it make in our church, the Chinese Community Church, if we all together, pastors, board members, ministry teams, and everyone in this church, if we decide to take serving God seriously, what difference would it make? How would we know it is actually happening here? What are we expecting to see? Let me share some very quick answers with you. We know that our church is a servant church. When we see a big increase in volunteer, in people stepping up, In people knowing and appreciating and understanding the gifts, the ability, and the opportunities that God has given to them, and using them for the delights of God, making an impact for them. Very often, surveys would tell us that, you know, a lot of people go to church, but a lot of those people who go to church love to come to church as consumers. They love to come to get something, to receive, to be served. People don't come to give. People don't come to offer. There is a lot of truth to that. But in a church that is serious about serving God, and in a church that is serious about, you know, being servants to one another, people don't say, "What is in it for me?" Instead, because of their servant attitude, they would ask, "What can I do? Where can I help?" So the body of Christ is built up, and so that altogether, God looks good in our midst because we love him. So we're going to be seeing an increase in people stepping up and serve. Behind the scene, you know, maybe teaching, maybe in ministry teams. The second thing that we can expect to see is that, you know, if we take serving God seriously, we are going to see a decrease in the amount of criticism and gossip that goes on. It happens in every church. You know, no church is perfect. A true servant doesn't have time to criticize or gossip. You know why? It is because they are too busy taking care of God's work. They are too preoccupied with, you know, doing what the master wants. So much so that they are so into it, they don't have a lot of time to gossip. They don't have a lot of time to criticize. They are just concerned and they're just preoccupied with what the master wants. We know that is a case with a servant church. That, you know, people, instead of criticizing, they would come alongside and they would serve one another. We also know that in a church that takes servanthood very seriously and very literally, our faith, our Christianity would become very much practical and alive. There would be a new emphasis on working out our faith, sharing our faith, making it known. The Bible says that faith without work is dead. And if a church is serious about being a servant church, you would find that its members and its congregation are going to find all kinds of opportunities as God provides. And they're going to step up. You would find them lifting up the spirits of those who are down. You would find them praying for those who find it difficult to speak to God. You would find them coming alongside of those maybe who are sick, who need encouragement, who need a helping hand. You would find them maybe not so much in the church, but in the community, in the office places, helping out and making an impact for God. You would find that the people, the believers in that church, because of their serving mentality, they would find every opportunity to tell other people how real, how practical faith in the Lord Jesus is. You would also find that, you know, in churches that are serious about serving God, we would have a slightly different standard for choosing leaders and co-workers. Very often, in many churches, we choose leaders based on maybe because they are rich, able to give. Maybe because they are longtime church members, people who are successful from a business point of view, those who are able to speak up and speak out, those who seem to know all the answers, those who seem to know all the ins and outs of church politics. We choose leader based on that. Now, understand me properly. I'm not saying that it is bad, but sometimes our tendency and our challenge is that we choose leaders and co-workers based on those kind of standards alone. And Jesus is saying that, you know, when we choose co-workers, when we are looking for people to serve and to take care of the business and affairs of God, we first look at their hearts. We encourage them to have a heart that is after God's kingdom. And we choose believers to become co-workers and leaders, but believers whose hearts are after God. We would look at that, and we would also look at other things. And in a church that is serious about serving God, we would find that, you know, there is a deeper and a growing appreciation of all those who are already serving God. We would appreciate them more. We will speak well of them. We would pray for them. We would also show our love and the grace of Christ towards them. We would be less concerned about who gets credit at all, because we know that no one in the church would get any credits. All the credit is going to God, and we'd be okay with that. This is particularly important in our church, because God has blessed our church with so many willing and sacrificial people. And many people are serving God because they love God, whether people know it or not. And we want to ask God to help our church to become more and more appreciative of them. Come along their side and work together. Work together to bring delight and also honor to the name of Christ. In our church, we would want to say thank you to those who take care of our children and kids, maybe in the nursery, maybe in the cool church kids, maybe in the Sunday school, maybe in community outreach. We want to say thank you to them because they do it simply because they love God. We want to say thank you to those who are serious about community outreach. We want to thank those who are teaching us the Word of God so that we will be fed properly. We want to thank those who take care of the administrative, you know, responsibilities of the church. But in a growing church that is serious about serving God, you would find all these things happening. Last, but definitely not least, in a church that is serious about serving God, what can you expect to see? I love this part. We are going to be seeing a lot of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because Jesus says that, you know, if you're serious about serving God, you are going to be imitating him. Just as the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve and to sacrifice and offer his life for sinners, Jesus says that if you are serious about serving God, you and the church somehow would not mind sacrificing, because you know that God is worth it. Somehow you are willing to kind of take another extra or two steps, because God is worth it. And somehow, even if people, you know, don't quite understand where we are coming from, or that we feel that we are not properly appreciated, but somehow you would not mind. And you'll be ignorant of that. Why? Because you know that you're doing it for Christ. And as long as Jesus looks good, other people would sense his love and other people would be drawn to him. And as a result, more and more people are going to come into a personal and growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought that serving God, maybe in the nursery, maybe in the kitchen, maybe, you know, just taking someone to help him or her with translation, in a way, there is, you know, that is evangelism in and of itself. Jesus taught the disciples that greatness isn't about who you are, how powerful you are. It is how open you are to being a servant of God. That is what greatness in God's eyes is all about. And that is something very important for our church to think about. In fact, if you look at the pages of the Bible, you find that, you know, God purposely doesn't choose the powerful, the able, and the prepared to do his work. For instance, look at Moses in the Old Testament. He is one who is known to have a speech impediment. He has difficulty speaking properly. Probably, you know, a lot of people make fun of him. Prophet Hosea's wife was known to be a prostitute. Jacob, we know that for much of his life, has been lying and cheating. David, noble as a king, powerful as a monarch, had an affair. Abraham was too old, even when God promised him that, you know, he would have a son. But David, on the other hand, you know, was ridiculed as being too young when he walked into the battlefield. Timothy, who served God, we know that, you know, he probably has ulcer. Peter was afraid of dying Naomi was a widow. John Mark rejected by Paul, but ended up approved of Paul and wrote the Gospel of Mark. Have you ever thought that, you know, before Paul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he was actually a murderer? So was Moses, accused of murdering people. Jonah ran from God. Miriam, the prophetess, liked to gossip. Gideon and Thomas were both skeptical. Jeremiah seems always depressed. Elijah was burned out. Noah got drunk. And Moses had a short temper. So did Peter, James, and John, and, well, lots of people. It doesn't matter who and where you are. God wants you to know him, his son Jesus Christ, and God wants you gladly to be his servants. You know, at the end of our lives, we want to leave more than just a financial inheritance, more than just a good name. We want to leave a legacy of lives touched by the love and the power of God. And only a believer with the heart of a servant, only a servant church can do that. You know, we thank God that Sam will not be serving alone, because all of us are servants together with him, with the board, with ministry team, with all three congregations. We thank God for that, because that is the work of God. So today, as we install Sam, you know, in a way, it is an opportunity for us to tell God that, God, include me too, because I want to rededicate my life. I also want to be your servant, so that this church is known as a church who loves you, as believers who would give everything that they have in order to make Jesus look good in our midst. So, Sam is God's servant, but he is not your servant. He is not my servant. He is God's servant in our midst, and all together, we are servants of the Lord Most High. We pray that as we know Jesus as Master and Savior, we would also grow in appreciation, knowing Jesus as servant. And because Jesus is the servant of God, help us also to reflect the very facts that we too are his servants. Pray for the church, pray for all of us, and pray that this church would truly, truly delight in God and also honor God.